The Only Victor, written by Alexander Kent and read by Michael Jaston.
Chapter 1. In the Name of Duty. Captain Daniel Poland of His Britannic Majesty's frigate Truculent stretched his arms and stifled a yawn while he waited for his eyes to accustom themselves to the darkness. As he gripped the quarterdeck rail and the dim figures around him took on identity and status, he was able to accept the pride he felt for this command and the fashion in which he had moulded his company into a team, one that would react to his wishes and orders with little room for improvement. He had been in command for 2 years, but would not be fully posted for a further 6 months. Then, and only then, would he feel safe from disaster. A fall from grace, an unfortunate mistake or misunderstanding of some senior officer's dispatches, any of these could hurl him down the ladder of promotion, or worse. But once a post-captain, with matching epaulettes on his shoulders, little could shift him. He gave a brief smile. Only death or some terrible wound could do that. The enemy's iron was no respecter of the hopes or ambitions of its victims. He moved to the small table by the companionway and raised its tarpaulin hood so that he could examine the log by the light of a small shaded lamp. Nobody on the quarterdeck spoke or disturbed him. Every man was well aware of his presence, and after 2 years, his habits. As he ran his eyes along the neatly written comments of the most recent officers of the watch, he felt his ship lift and plunge beneath him, spray whipping across the open deck like cold hail. In an hour, all would be different. Again, he felt the same twinge of pride. Cautious pride, for Captain Poland trusted nobody and nothing which might bring displeasure from his superiors, and which in turn might damage his prospects. But if the wind held, they would sight the coast of Africa, the Cape of Good Hope, perhaps at first light. 19 days. It was probably the fastest passage ever made by a king's ship from Portsmouth. Poland thought of the England they had seen fall into a rain squall as Truculent had thrust her way down channel for open waters. Cold, wet, shortages and press gangs. His gaze fastened on the date, the 1st of February, 1806. Perhaps that was the answer. England was still reeling from the news of Trafalgar, which had exploded less than 4 months ago. It seemed people were stunned more by the death of Nelson, the nation's hero, than the crushing victory over the French and Spanish fleets. Even aboard his own ship, Poland had sensed the change, the damage to morale amongst his officers and seamen. Truculent had not even been in the same ocean at the time of the great battle, and to his knowledge, none of the people had ever laid eyes on the little admiral. It irritated him. Just as he damned the luck which had taken his ship so far from a fight out of which only glory and reward could result. It was typical of Poland that he had not considered the awesome lists of dead and wounded after that memorable day off Cape Trafalgar. He peered up at the pale shape of the bulging mizzen topsail. Beyond it, there was only darkness. The ship had rid herself of her heavy canvas and changed every sail to the pale, light weather rig. She would make a fine sight when the sunlight found her again. He pictured her rapid passage south, with the mountains of Morocco misty blue in the far distance, then southeast across the equator, with the only landfall the tiny island of St. Helena, a mere speck on the chart. It was no wonder that young officers prayed for the chance to gain command of a frigate, where once free of the fleet's apron strings and the interference of one admiral or another, they were their own masters. He knew that to his company, a captain was seen as some kind of god. In many cases it was true. He could punish or reward any soul aboard with impunity. Poland considered himself a just and fair captain, but was sensible enough to know that he was feared rather than liked. Each day he had made certain that his men were not lacking in work. No admiral would find fault with his ship, either her appearance or efficiency. His eyes moved to the cabin skylight. It was already sharper in the gloom, or maybe his eyes had become completely used to it. And there would be no mistakes on this passage, not with such an important passenger down there in the captain's quarters. It was time to begin. He walked to the rail again and stood with one foot on the truck of a tethered 9-pounder. The ship's second lieutenant appeared as if by magic.